Talk to you in a while.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. It's good to talk to you.
You also. And how are you proceeding?
I'm proceeding well, very well, considering the hurricane and the flooding and everything that's happened in the past week, and we survived unscathed so far.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It was still a disruption. I guess to back up a bit, the UNC job, the one that you had told me to pay attention to my energy, that I was excited about it. It wasn't the status job. They kind of disappeared for a couple of months, and then I got an email telling me I didn't get one of the spots on the team, but that I'd been in the last of the running, and which was discouraging. But then I ended up a couple of weeks later unintentionally driving through campus and past the building, and I just thought briefly that, well, I think I still want this job, and I think it's possible that somebody could get sick or have somebody in their family get sick and drop out, and that I might get a spot. And then while I was in New York visiting my son and out having fun being a tourist, I got a phone call, and in fact somebody had a family emergency and they offered me a spot while I was in New York.
Congratulations.
And then the damn hurricane happened, and our training got canceled, and then my background clearance got snafu'd because it was being done out of Wilmington, and they've had no access to the real world for a while, and so I've missed all of the training this week. And I'm assuming I still have the job, but everyone's been together, getting to know each other and doing all of the training, and I've missed all of that. So it's been a little bit confusing disruption. I've basically been sewing and going to the gym and just doing the stuff I like to do, and kind of, it's just, well, I think the job is still mine.
And perhaps you don't require the training.
I had that thought, and then I thought, well, that's a bit of hubris, but then I thought, well, maybe it's true. Maybe I don't need the training. I was looking forward to the connection with the other people, but I was not looking forward to 6 days of 8 to 5. I really don't like 8 to 5 stuff. So I've had moments.
And you conveniently created not doing that.
I know. I felt a little bit like, felt a pang at once of somebody playing hooky, but I had nice cover if I did.
I would express that this is not necessarily bad or negative.
Okay.
And not to move in those directions, but to allow yourself the excitement of what you have accomplished and listening to yourself and moving forward, and merely remind yourself that what you don't need, you won't necessarily participate in. This is all part of your creation. Therefore, in actuality, this is quite validating.
I think
that it isn't about what an outside source dictates. It is about what you choose.
Well, I think that's a beneficial example. It's, you know, shifting that time, that frame of reference. That may not be the phrase I'm looking for, but it's disheartening and demoralizing on one context when you're on the job market and you apply for jobs and it's like your resume, your applications just disappear into this black hole. And even though, you know, definitely in moments I know, well, I really didn't want that job. That wasn't the one I wanted. There's this old model or frame of thinking that says, yeah, but I wanted the moral support or the ego boost of knowing that, you know, at least somebody wanted to interview me or wanted to hire me, even though it wasn't a job that I really wanted.
Yes.
Yeah. So
but that is also part of changing the perception.
Right.
That this isn't about what the outside source wants. This is about what you want. This isn't about the outside source choosing you. It is about you choosing them.
Right. And it's just an unfamiliar perspective. But
yes.
But I feel but it.
I would say that this experience has been considerably validating in relation to that principle.
Yes, it has. And it's amazing what experience, the actual experience, provides. That just talking about or, you know, hearing other people talk about it, it's not the same until you actually experience it yourself.
Correct. Correct.
So that's been, it has been very beneficial. And I think perhaps in other areas of my life, or maybe my whole being, I'm still transitioning into a new perspective. And I thought maybe we could talk about it. It kind of pulls together a lot of dimensions of my life. But one thing, I'm waking up during the middle of the night and not going back to sleep. Sometimes because my brain is hamster wheeling. Sometimes it's just because there's something physiological that my body's not relaxing or slipping into that sleep mode. So that was one thing I wanted to talk to you about. And I'm sure they're related somehow. The other thing is feeling this lack of direction. In part, I think it's because, you know, I'm functioning without goals that I am used to. But it's also a sense of a lack of passion and experiencing things fading out of my life, but not really feeling a passion for something else. I'm doing other things and they're enjoyable, but it's from a more neutral position. So does that give you enough to get us started?
Now, let me ask you, in the activities that you are doing, are you enjoying them?
Yeah.
Or what are you paying attention to?
Yeah, so like for the last couple of days, I've been working on sewing. And it's a similar feeling or sense that I have when I'm painting furniture. I'm enjoying it, you know, it's not a jump up and down kind of thing, but it's an experience in which I'm very present. My brain isn't off processing something else. I'm really paying attention. Time goes quickly. So yeah, I'm enjoying it, but I think it's in sort of a, you know, just a neutral, in the moment kind of feeling or presence.
Yes.
And I guess maybe I have this expectation or this perception that, you know, for something that there should be some, compelling drive or passion for what I'm doing, rather than it's just, you know, I get up and do it. It's what I want to do, and I'm enjoying it.
First of all, I would express that part of the difficulty is that you are defining passion somewhat incorrectly.
Okay.
You are equating passion with excitement. They are not synonymous.
Okay.
You can be passionate about something and not necessarily continuously feel that tremendous excitement about it. Passion is expressed in something that you incorporate a genuine interest in, and that genuinely enjoy doing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it will always be tremendously exciting, or that there will be an intensity in what you feel while you are engaging it. You can be passionate about your sewing, or passionate about your dog, but you don't always feel extreme with that, or you don't always feel excitement about it. Are you understanding?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am.
That is one piece.
Okay.
And the other piece is that you have developed this idea that you are waiting for something.
Yes.
Rather than making the ultimate importance about what you are already doing, you are making that semi-important, but you are making the waiting for something more important.
Yeah, and I think
that is ultimately important, and you don't know what it is, and you are waiting for it, And in that, because that is being made more important, it overshadows everything else that you are doing.
Right.
Everything else that you are doing seems to be second place.
Right. And I think it's also that it's backward looking as well, thinking about how exciting the notion of Rivaresco and regeneration and all of the possibilities and, you know, just this endless curiosity I had for learning, and it feels like that has moved out of my life. And so I guess I have
I am understanding. Okay. Now let me express to you in a different manner. I am very much understanding. And what you are doing is very common. Now let me express it to you in this manner. You enjoyed learning, you enjoyed exploring, and in that, while you were doing that as something new and something different, it became in associations almost that this was a part of you, this was your goal, this was your direction, and the learning about it and engaging in it and experimenting with it and moving into a position of knowing with it was consuming.
Yes.
But you also generate a perception with that that is somewhat twofold. One is that it continues and continues and continues and doesn't quite change. And the other is that it leads to some type of goal that you haven't even entirely defined what that goal is, but that it leads to some type of goal that, in a manner of speaking, produce more of what you are experiencing in the process. Now, let me express to you a reminder. Feelings are attractive. Even feelings that are not always comfortable. And at times, in the process of learning, there was frustration or at times disappointment or at times confusion, but all those feelings also lend to the intensity of what you are experiencing. experiencing in that process. Therefore, then there is this association that is developed that when you reach your goal, it will be even more.
Yeah.
Now, let me express to you that that is the part of following the feelings. But let me also express to you that when you are engaging a process in which you genuinely are learning, you are very focused, you are absorbing information, and you are doing while you are engaged with that action of absorbing considerable information. Eventually, you move to a point in which, in a manner of speaking, the work is done. And then it is a matter of allowing yourself to rest in the accomplishment, in what you succeeded in doing, and that you did it. Think about a painting or a garment that you may be sewing or anything that you are engaging creatively. While you are involved with it in the process, you are very focused. At times, you may have moments in which you may be slightly anxious, wanting it to be done, but you continue to engage the process. And then when that project, when that activity is done, when it is completed, then you step back and observe what you have accomplished. And generally there will be a combination of two feelings. One is slightly what you might think of as a type of letdown, because you are finished. Because you aren't engaging any longer, there's no more to do. It is a matter of resting in your accomplishment and your success, and acknowledging that and letting it be. But there is also, in addition to that slight letdown that it is finished or it is completed, there's also a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction in what you did. Now, in this process, that is the piece that you haven't allowed yourself to acknowledge. That you engaged this process, you did it, and you were successful in doing it and learning and accomplishing with it, and it is done, and you don't have to continue to be engaging in that manner, because you did learn it and you did do it, and what you missed was the piece of allowing yourself to stand in the accomplishment, in the success, and acknowledge that. Because you are continuing to generate the perception that the accomplishment or the success should be showing itself in some other manner. Therefore, it isn't finished yet. The factor that you will continue to engage a subject or an action doesn't mean that you haven't completed the work, so to speak, with it. Let me use a different example. You have been a teacher. Now, you engaged school for a considerable time framework to become a teacher. Now, in that, you finished schooling. You completed your process of learning for a particular goal. That doesn't mean you stop engaging that subject. You didn't, because you became a teacher. Therefore, you continued to engage school, but in a different manner. You allowed yourself to be what you had accomplished through that learning of school. And yes, you were continuing to engage the subject of school, of learning, of engaging in that community, but in a different capacity. You weren't the student any longer. You already accomplished that. You did it. Therefore, you could stand in the accomplishment in what you did. You don't continue to engage school as a student forever. At some point, that has been accomplished, and it was successful, and then it changes. You change.
Right. That helps. That example makes it easier to see.
With these other subjects, you did it. You don't have to continue to be learning any longer. You did it. You accomplished. You were successful. Now it is different. Allow yourself to acknowledge what you did, what you accomplished, and stand in that.
I see.
And it feels different. You feel different as a student than you do as a teacher.
Right. Yeah, I think I was thinking that, I mean, I can feel the difference in what you're saying, and that it seems like it has just become a part of my life now, and that seemed, in my perception, it seemed to diminish its importance rather than recognizing that it was an accomplishment and that it had moved to a different level, and that now it was a part of my broader life, and my attention was turning to other things, maybe yet.
Precisely. In that, I would express that, isn't that the point? Isn't that what you want? You want your life to be easier and less cluttered or less complicated, yeah. And then when it is, you are looking for the next complication.
Yes. And feelings are attractive, just that sense of curiosity and struggling and figuring things out and the excitement portion of it. I can see that as well. And it's one of the things I think I'm adapting to in this. I don't know if it's a phase of my life or what, but it seems like there are more dimensions of my life that are smaller. I don't know if that's the right word I'm looking for. It feels like I've triggered several dimensions of my life that have they're smaller pieces of the pie of my whole being, but I've activated more pieces of pie. Am I mangling that metaphor? And so it's like I've triggered more components of my life and I'm enjoying them, but they're smaller pieces of my life. You know, they're not this thing that's writ large out there the way Rivaresco was, that consuming or compelling component.
I'm understanding, but in that also, it isn't necessarily the situation that they are smaller. They are merely not generating the same intensity of feeling.
Okay, yes, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
Because I would say that the other pieces or the other avenues in your life are consistent.
Yes.
They are pieces of your life that are more frequent and more active on a daily basis.
Yes. Yes.
They merely aren't as emotionally charged.
Right.
You aren't generating the same intensity of feeling with them.
Right.
And that is what you are missing.
Right.
Now, I would say to you that you can move through your life and you can be engaging directions that continuously infuse you with those types of feelings and that intensity. I would say that the pitfall with that is the expression of never moving to a point in which you are actually satisfied.
Yes. Yes, I can see that.
Because continuously chasing that feeling is motivated by the expression of not enough.
Right.
That this is the reason that you are never satisfied, is because it is continuously being motivated by not enough. Therefore, I have to do more and more and more and more and more to create those feelings.
Yes.
But also, difficulty with that is that in doing that type of action, you are following feelings and allowing feelings to dictate to you. Which is considerably limiting.
Right, and it seems to present a hurdle in being able to experience more fully what is genuinely me.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, I can see that.
Let me express you. That doesn't mean that ever after that you are always neutral and that you never experience those time frameworks or moments of excitement, or that you never move in directions of that tremendous curiosity. You do. And you do experience that, and you do feel it, but not constantly.
Right. Oh, I don't know if...
And remember, and this is a significant piece. Because when you think about a subject that you have a fond association with, such as learning a particular subject and moving in that process, what you do is you generalize that this was an excellent experience, and you identify the feeling of that, as you said, as being passion.
Right.
Because it is, in your terms, considerably emotionally charged. But it isn't always emotionally charged in what you think of as a comfortable manner. In many situations and time frameworks, it is emotionally charged in frustration or irritation that you are not accomplishing what you want to accomplish, or it is too difficult, or you aren't seeing what you want to see, but you don't think about those parts of the experience. You automatically associate the emotional charge as being all good. And that is what you are chasing.
Right.
Because that is the identification of passion. But it isn't.
Yes, I'm going to have to play that one out in my head, but I see what you're saying.
I would say to you, I will offer you a very simple, very obvious example of what individuals may automatically identify as passion, and that they automatically identify it as entirely good, would be sex.
Yep. Yeah.
That there is an intensity of feelings in relation to sexual activity, and the most intense of those feelings you think of as being good, pleasurable. It isn't always pleasurable. And the feelings aren't always good. But you override that and generalize it and identify that sex is good and that it is passionate because there is an intensity to the feelings. And the feelings are intense, good and bad. And they are attractive, good and bad. And the tendency is to chase them.
So I'm trying to extrapolate, may not be an appropriate application, but maybe a jumping off point. One of the subjects, or two of the subjects in my life, I've been reconsidering my interest in what resonates with me has been sailing and being on the water and being in the mountains. It's been a part of me looking at self-directing and paying attention to where I'm spending my time and money, resources, and doing what I want to do, or whether I'm doing it because it's what Odie wants to do. Brenda and Robert are very passionate about their boat. They spend every other weekend in Oriental, and Odie doesn't really care that much about our boat in the way I would take care of things. And you know, I just keep sensing that I have a pull, or that the mountains resonate more with me, and yet I didn't end up getting the Airbnb in the mountains. And I've been trying to figure out how I know what is genuinely interesting to me.
Why didn't you?
It did become available, and I thought the timing was off because the Airbnb that we go to all the time was just next door, and looking at the Airbnb market, it just didn't seem like the market would support the two of them there, that they were just, the other one was having too many vacancies already, and then a third one had opened up that was really cheap, so all three in one place. And then after the one that I didn't buy sold, the Airbnb that we stay in, it suddenly stopped being available. I think the couple's getting a divorce and she's living in it. And so now there aren't any Airbnbs in that location, unless the the woman ends up selling hers. So it seemed, you know, it seemed like the research I had been doing and the analysis I had done suggested that it wasn't a good time.
Very well. What do you feel about that now?
Well, my first thought was, you know, maybe in the first of the year, the one that I really enjoyed and really liked, that it might become available when the UNC experience happened to me, you know, the job becoming mine after it wasn't. I thought, well, you know, in actuality, there aren't missed opportunities. And, you know, I have a sense that I will have an Airbnb in the mountains when the timing is right.
Very well, and I agree with you. I would express that there aren't missed opportunities. They continue to return and come back and come back. And in that can be encouraging to you, that even if you don't board your boat when it docks at one point, it will dock again.
Yeah.
And in this, have you allowed yourself to look at and consider how much you allow other individuals' likes and dislikes to influence your choices?
Yes, I have. I have. I mean, part of the reason the experience for me in Oriental wasn't satisfying was because we were living that experience through Odie's choices and his preferences, his timing, and his interests, not mine. I'm aware of that.
When you evaluate that, you also give yourself the opportunity to engage that a step further and identify what your own choices would be?
Yes.
Therefore, not only recognizing that you are making someone else's choices more important, at following what their choices are, but also actually evaluating and recognizing what your choices would be, what is actually important to you?
Yes, and I think I have a better sense of that. You know, I know I love road trips and exploring. I feel like I haven't explored North Carolina the way I wanted to, because it's so much of the focus has been on going to Oriental and the boat. And I've always had a sense that being in the mountains resonates with me. There's something restorative about it, something inspiring. And I think I would have, you know, I've enjoyed being on the water sometimes, and I've enjoyed being down at the coast. But I would have shifted the balance if I were doing what I wanted to do in terms of money and time and resources.
Now, in evaluating that, what have you been doing different?
Hesitating. I was, I, And Odie agreed to go with me to the mountains next weekend, and I'm having to find a new Airbnb because our place is gone, and I'm hesitating because of Calvin. I'm hesitating because of the money, since I didn't work the 6 days, and being away from Goddess Acres. And so I'm taking into many other considerations than what I want to do.
Which is more of the same.
Yes, it is. I don't know.
Very well. Therefore, what can you begin doing that is different?
I can book the trip for next week.
Yes, and in the interim time framework, what can you be doing different? It isn't merely a matter of events. It is a matter of altering what you are doing on a daily basis. Therefore, yes, you can book the trip, and that is one step. And what can you also be doing in the interim time framework that is different than what you are accustomed to doing? And understand, before you answer that, that doing doesn't necessarily always mean entirely physically doing. You may be physically doing many of the same actions and activities that you were doing before, but your perception about it may be different, or your motivation is different.
So doing things because I think I should do them, or because I think it's expected of me.
Correct.
Right. And I have had awareness of that, and have felt the energy shift when I've done things for Goddess Acres or for the dogs, and stopped and had the awareness that I enjoy doing this. I'm doing this because I enjoy it, and stepping away from doing it because I feel like I should do it to be considerate, or I should do it out of responsibility. And trying to sense that awareness of, am I doing this because I enjoy it, or am I doing it because I think I should? And like you say, sometimes I do the same thing, but with a different motivation, and sometimes then I don't do it.
Correct.
Yes, and so I have experienced and have been practicing being aware of underlying motivation for what I'm doing.
Which is a very significant point.
Okay. I need to practice more.
I agree.
Well, fuck.
That means that.
Okay. I'm still a student.
Within your day, it is also significant for you to be aware of and recognize those moments in which you automatically are allowing, or are about to allow, someone else's choices to be influencing what your choices are, which may occur in a conversation. That you may be having a conversation with another individual and automatically, without thinking, you are beginning to acquiesce to whatever the other individual is talking about.
Okay.
Be aware. Pay attention. What am I thinking and feeling?
Okay.
And therefore, what is motivating me and what am I doing?
That makes sense.
And it can be challenging because automatic expressions are precisely that. They are automatic. You don't think about them. You don't necessarily notice them before you are actually doing them. But you can become aware when you are doing something.
Yes. So does this have any circle back to why I keep waking up at night and can't go back to sleep?
Most definitely. Because you have been becoming more aware of how you are acquiescing or how you are allowing other individuals' choices to influence your choices and that they may not be what you want, that creates stress and a degree of anxiety. Even if you aren't necessarily entirely aware of feeling it, that doesn't mean that it isn't there. And pressuring yourself and actually to, I would say, a significant degree, judging yourself in relation to that subject of passion, that your judgment is that you aren't feeling that intensity, therefore you aren't expressing or generating passion. And waiting to find it, which is stressful. And also generating that judgment of yourself almost on a constant basis, underlyingly, of what am I doing wrong? And what am I not doing enough of?
Yeah, in my head, I change the language and say, okay, I won't think that. I'll just think what's going on. But the underlying energy is still, what am I doing wrong?
Yes, it doesn't matter. It is the same energy, and that energy is anxious and is discounting because you are generating those judgments about yourself, and therefore that is creating tension and anxiety, and that disrupts sleep. And you have built those expressions up and up and up and up. The B&B, the school, the passion, the choices of other individuals, and what you are not doing, not doing, not doing, not doing.
Yep, I can feel that.
All of that creates a significant amount of tension that you are carrying with you constantly. And it is very disruptive. It is disruptive of sleep. It can be disruptive of concentration. You might find yourself engaging a particular task during the day and stopping before it is completed and doing something else and then returning to the other task. And in this, you don't notice because you actually will finish whatever you are doing in whatever direction, but you might not do it in a manner in which it is uninterrupted.
Right.
Because your concentration is being affected. Your attention is being affected. That it may not be as focused as it would be at other time frameworks when you are more comfortable.
Yes, I have experienced that. Well, I heard the timer go off. I have a homework assignment. I guess I'm still a student in some subject matters.
In many directions.
All right, I'm up to the task. Well, it has been wonderful, and it was unexpected to get to talk to you.
I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting, my friend. And what I will leave you with in this conversation is stop being so harsh with yourself.
Yes, I will. I will put that into practice. Thank you.
Rather than paying attention to making important and continuing to move in the direction of what you aren't doing or what you missed, pay attention to what you are doing and what you do want and what you do like and what is your choice.
All right, I will do that. Thank you.
Very well. And I shall be offering my energy to you in helpfulness and encouragement.
Thank you.
In wondrous lovingness to you, my dear friend, as always. Au revoir.
I love you. Goodbye.